This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
And we roll on here tonight, just like that, back in studio. This segment with Matt Jordan is going to be brought to you by Carlsberg. Right in he comes here. He's thrown to the fire again. It's been a very busy couple last days here with Matt Jordan. So we're going to try to volley a bunch off him here in this segment. So going to start it right away, Matt. I'm not going to do all the niceties because we already said hello to each other. All right. How quickly did this Kubo Torres thing come down?
Probably one of the fastest deals I've ever seen come together in all the years I've been doing this. I mean, literally Tuesday afternoon, you know, probably around 3 o'clock, we get that initial contact from Pumas. Things start transpiring into the evening, you know, and again, these things move fast. There was a phone call, you know, from Kubo to Wilmer, you know, saying that this is an opportunity that he was interested in pursuing for professional and personal reasons. You know, documents started getting drafted, you know, probably midnight into the early morning the next day, you know, but we, you know, there's still a lot of details to be covered. And literally he was on a plane, you know, that afternoon and we were finalizing the transfer.
Presented yesterday. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Biggest challenges here in 2018 for you guys on the field?
I'd say, you know, we're not going to be catching anybody by surprise. You know, I think we caught a lot of people by surprise last year, and we're going to have to continue to look at, you know, different ways to break teams down. I mean, the one nice thing that I'm really happy about is we have a really good, strong core that we've worked very hard to bring back. With that continuity, it's important. So we you know, going into this offseason, I mean, the last 5 weeks, I want to say we've done 12 to 13 deals through, you know, trades, you know, different transactions, different things going on free agency. But it's nice that we can be selective to find the right pieces that to fit, you know, and improve in positions, you know, hence a guy like Arturo, you know, that's a very specific, okay, hey, that's for a specific role that we bring in, or, you know, Darwin Seren or Foye Mayor, or, you know, all these other Chris Seitz, you know, all these other guys also with re-signing a lot of our guys. Oddly enough, it was one of the busiest off seasons I've ever been a part of.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan in studio. Speaking of that, last year you guys did have trouble breaking down teams that were deeper defending. How's that going to change this year?
Well, listen, I think we've continued to add quality. You know, bringing Tomas on, you know, who is and on board, you know, who can find space between the lines. Someone like Arturo as well, you know, has quality in the final third. You know, Darwin's very good at transitioning the ball. You know, he's good on both sides of the ball, but very good at transitioning the ball forward. Darwin Seren. You know, so again, you know, we feel that the way the team's built, we can be adaptable, and that's exciting, you know, for the group and for our fans.
This money that was acquired from Kubo Torres, it's real money.
Yeah.
What's the club going to do? Will they invest it in the youth program? Is it about getting another player? Do you have one in mind? That's one question that a lot of fans are asking. What's going to happen with that money?
It's normal. And look, I mean, it's one of those things where we have a lot of confidence in the group we have. I mean, you know, our ownership made a significant investment in Albert Elise, Juan David Cabezas. We've made investments in Romo Kyoto, Mauro Minotas. These are young, talented, dynamic players, and we have a lot of confidence in them, and we feel good about those positions. And there's risks in every decision you make, but we felt the timing was right to make this decision with Kubo. We wish him well. At the same time, we're not just going to do anything for the sake of doing it. We want to do something that's the right fit, you know, and we do have more added flexibility right now. And so whether it's, you know, we're always looking to improve, if that answers your question, and we are open to continue to improve.
But I would expect that from you. I mean, is it something that you definitely know is going to be used on players, or could it be used in another area of the club, like your youth setup, which obviously always needs resources?
Yeah, no, like, I mean, those are discussions with as quickly as this thing came together. You know, those are discussions we'll be having internally. But, you know, the good thing is we have the support of our ownership group, and you know, and that's important as a part of this process.
Big picture on Kubo. Was he a disappointment here in Houston?
Well, you know, it's tough. I think what was tough for Eric, now looking back, you know, coming mid-season that first year, you know, and doing the transaction and loaning him back down to Mexico, that was tough. You know, and any player that comes mid-season, you know, I think that was really getting things off on a difficult note for him. You know, he had some challenges with confidence at the beginning, you know, to credit to the club, and to Wilmer and to our coaching staff. I mean, they did an amazing job last season with him, but we had a lot of, weapons in our arsenal as well. And you look at the emergence of Morrow, Romel Kyoto, Albert Ellis, you look at Andrew Wanger, Memo, you know, Memo is growing as well. Tomas Martinez. So, I think there's a lot of MLS teams would be very happy to have those options up top.
What's going on with Tyler Derrick? Is he still in the contention to be a Dynamo player? Listen, is it over?
There's so much going on with that, you know, again, I don't know, you know, to be honest. There's so many elements to that are out of our control. And, you know, and so it just kind of got to see what happens with the legal process. And we have to just follow all the league's direction on that.
Are you disappointed what happened with Lucatero going to Necaxa? Because, you know, here was a kid that we were really built up to believe that was going to be somebody that's going to come through the system. He's going to be impactful. I had a whole bunch of people tell me how good this kid was talent-wise. And he's gone, and we really don't get anything for him. Is that a big disappointment?
Well, listen, it's always disappointing when you lose, you know, someone that came up through your system. But that's the reality of world soccer. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. It happens with every club around the world. I mean, we made every effort to keep Luka in our system. We offered him a lengthy contract, and we offered him the exact same opportunities we offered to Memo Rodriguez. We wish him well. You know, obviously he's going to take an opportunity to be playing in a reserve team and to play with in a reserve team setup. You know, and we've had very good conversations with him. He and I have been in touch, and so, you know, every situation is unique, and, you know, we wish him well.
Marcelo Palomino, he's the next one now that we're hearing a lot about, and I have a lot of friends who are out there in the community, scouts, and, you know, and there's a lot of great reports coming back on this kid.
Yeah.
How do you avoid what happened to Lucatero with this kid? Is this a kid at 16 you would sign right now?
Well, he's training with the first team. He's in camp with us right now. He actually dealt with an injury when he was in residency, so we had to really help him get back last season to full fitness. So he's back with us. And what I think is important is that there's a process involved. There has to be a process. And, you know, we have a structure in place, and, you know, training, getting, you know, into that environment and acclimating. You're already seeing that he's starting to get much more comfortable. The speed of play is fast. There's no doubt it's fast for these young guys.
Is he handling it?
But he's getting, you could see that he's handling it more and more. And so, you know, we're excited to continue to monitor his progress, and it's great to have him in camp with us right now.
Ricardo Clark, obviously a Dynamo legend. I guess he's exploring the free agency market right now. Is there desires to bring him back?
Ricardo, you know, we obviously want to respect that his ability to explore free agency, you know, and that's something that he's earned the right, you know, to explore. And so at this time, we just want to respect that process that he's, you know, I'm sure he's in discussions with several MLS teams, and he's taking his time to make the decision that's best for him and his family.
How does a team have to change? In other words, last year I saw Tomas Martinez as your guy that you wanted on the ball a lot, kind of frustrated at the end of the year. And I know the team was a little more defensive oriented at the end of the year. He's been sort of denoted. It seems like there's a clear directive. He's going to be your number 10. How are you going to get the best out of him? And do you have to, and does Wilmer have to change your purpose of play a little bit to get him on the ball more? Because that was a problem.
Listen, I think that, you know, Tomas came in quite well and really gave us a good boost the second half of last season. Scored some important goals. You know, him and Felipe Senderos came in quite well. And it's tough to come midseason with a team. I've done it before as a player. I'm very confident that he, and we are very confident that Tomas is going to come in and have a very good season. He's very fit right now. It is important to be adaptable, you know, and then again, you know, get him the ball. And that's something that, you know, you saw as we went on our playoff run last year, especially late in the regular season. You know, he was really having a big influence. As the playoffs went on, you know, the latter stages, you know, probably not as much. But to be fair, we didn't play that last series, you know, to our fullest potential. I mean, it was, you know, you got to be 100% when you're going against Seattle, and both games having red cards. It was tough. But at the end of the day, we're very confident in Tomas and his abilities and his quality, and he's going to be very good for us.
Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager. Look, I know you got to the Western Conference Finals. Seattle, you know, gets past you. They then get smoked by Toronto FC. How hard is it keeping up with these teams now? I mean, we have to be blatantly honest here. It is not easy keeping up with Atlanta, Toronto. Is it look daunting sometimes to you when you look at, you know, $15 million for Baca in Atlanta and he's 18 years of age?
Yeah.
Does it look daunting?
At times. At times it does. But, you know, it's a challenge that I relish and we relish. And we're not going to pretend we're somebody we're not. You know, and that's what's been important. And you look at our strategic plan and the direction we've been going, you know, getting young, dynamic, talented players with upside and potential growth. And that all that figured into this decision to sell Eric. You know, I mean, it's a risk. There's no doubt it's a risk. But at the same time, you're saying, okay, the player wants to take this opportunity. We have, you know, 3, 4, 5 good, young, attacking players that they need to get time too. And so that all factors into the decision. But to your point, it's, you know, especially with this discretionary TAM coming up. Yeah, I've been at this a while, and I think the league has changed quicker in the last 12 to 24 months than I'd seen in the previous 10 years.
Yeah, these mechanisms are allowing people to spend a lot more money.
And if you look, these mechanisms, you know, if you look at our TAM players, you look at Romel Kyoto, Mauro Minotas, Juan David Cabezas. I mean, those are great TAM players. Alejandro Fuenmayor is going to be a very good addition. Very talented, 21-year-old center back, very clean with the ball, nice profile. And we need to get younger back there. You know, we want to continue to get this team younger, and that's important for us, you know, while finding good complementary veterans that can help, you know, make sure that we're having that good balance.
Now, I know there's still more transactions that can occur and things can change here, but what's the one thing you'd say to Dynamo fans right now as, yes, you retained Albert Elise, but I think a lot of us said, look, if the Dynamo are going to prove to us they're serious, they have to retain him, okay? Yeah. I mean, it's a must.
Yes.
So what would be the one player now or the one move you could potentially make, and it could still be to come, that says to the Dynamo fan, here's our step up from last year, right? Because, you know, we look around the world and every year a team makes a significant signing from a marketing standpoint to help the team on the field. Where could that be with the Dynamo? Is there more to come?
We're always looking. We're always looking for that. I mean, I think Darwin Seren was, you know, making that trade, the draft. I think he's, in our opinion, he's one of the most underrated players in the league. And we've run the data on it. We've done our research, and we feel that Darwin is a player that is going to really help us. Fuenmayor as well. You know, you look at bringing back a lot of our vets that we brought back. Cabezas and Ellis were huge. I mean, those were kind of like stake in the ground type of, you know, transfers that we were like, listen, you know, I mean, I spent so much time on those two deals in particular, dating back to last summer. Just knowing that those are vital pieces, you know, and those are vital cogs in the team. You know, and so I think that we've steadily and quietly, you know, kept the team strong and incrementally improved it. And you know, again, we're depth is going to be important for us as well. But to your point, look, it's when you look at the Atlantas and you know, some of the the money that's getting pumped into things, it does seem to be daunting, but at the same time too, we just have to be a little more clever and smart and strategic, and we believe we're equipped to do that.
All right. And don't take this the wrong way. I know how you guys talk about the collective all the time. We know how important that is, a locker room, a team. But Albert Elise, this guy could be marketed. This guy could have a lot of merchandise. This guy could be a legitimate star here. Is there a resistance and a fear in building that guy up to be a star in Houston because you're afraid of maybe creating some dissension in a locker room? Because he seems like the most marketable player on this team, hands down.
Well, I'm not working in the marketing department, you know, but I think we see him as a marquee player. I mean, that's why we made the investment we made in him, you know, and on and off the field.
But I mean, will you put some muscle behind him to merchandise him, get him out to the crowd, have his jersey in the store so that people can walk right in, get the Panther jersey? I mean, why not create the Panther t-shirt? I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with this guy. Merchandising is a part of the game. Do you get worried about that? Do you get protective around your team because, you know, you want to keep this cocoon of safety and this culture of safety?
Me personally, this is just me speaking. And again, you know, we have a whole marketing team and, you know, they handle that stuff more from the merchandising standpoint. For me, my big thing is just with young players, you know, is that they need to be brought along the right way. But at the same time, they need, you know, like Albert has earned that opportunity. You know what I'm saying? He's earned that opportunity with his play on the field. So for me, the only thing I care about is what is his play on the field? Does his play on the field justify that publicity? And I think that's where, you know, you got to be careful. It's like, look at when Tomas came in last year. You know what I mean? Tomas was coming. He hadn't trained in a couple months. You know, he was coming. The windows overlapped. We needed to bring him along the right way, and we really did well with it. You know, when you look at when Minotas came in, no one knew Mauro Minotas. Not one person in the city probably knew Mauro Minotas. Mauro Minotas is a star in Houston.
Nobody in the league knew him, probably.
Yeah, I mean, no one in the league knew him.
And
I remember when
scenes.
I was in here. When I was in here, we were talking about big names, and I said, you know, when we brought Piatti to Montreal, no one knew him. No one knew Valeri. No one knew the yada yada. No one knew Minotas. Not many people knew Tomas Martinez. Not many people knew Juan David Cabezas, Machado. You know, these are guys that you know, that's what it's nice to see, you know, when a player earns it on the field, that publicity and that notoriety. But for me, it's always important, especially with young players, they earn it. They earn it, and it's not given. And that's something that I think is very important.
Matt, tremendous job. A lot of volley in here. This was a great interview. Good information for the Dynamo fans. Also want to thank you for making it up in studio. I know how busy you are. It is appreciated, and I think the interviews are always far more engaging when we can look at each other and talk about it.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan putting it all together again. The Dynamo on Saturday morning. They will be out. It's an open training session to the public. Get down there. You can get introduced to some of the new players. They'll be selling all kinds of Dynamo and Dash gear as well. We will take a break. Before we go to break, reminder about Kings Court. 13 TVs, big screen down there at Kings Court. Show the Premier League, the Dynamo, the Champions League, Bundesliga, you name it, they have it. Go say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com, right near BBVA Compass Stadium. And our Carlsberg Team of the Week, probably the best beer in the world. We're going to give it to we'll give it to Barcelona for the 2-0 win today here. I had to come up with one real quick. Coutinho debuted. 2-0 win. Suarez and Lionel Messi. A guy named Messi scored goals in that one. Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world. We'll take a break. More to come. Coming up next, Ike Opara of the U.S. Men's National Team.
Good.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We roll on. Quick word here for the Gorgeous Gale. It's an Irish pub with an Irish feel in West University. Soccer fans, get over there to the Gorgeous Gale. Say hello to Peter. It's on 5555 Morningside Drive. Catch all the Premier League matches in there, Major League Soccer. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Great whiskey offerings as well, and great pub food. Say hello to Peter, the Gorgeous Gale. An open field, outdoor patio, the place to be, thegorgeousgale.com. And as we all know, U.S. Men's National Team will kick off 2018 with a friendly against Bosnia-Herzegovina on Sunday. The U.S. roster, 27 of the 29 players in camp. It is a young roster. 21 of the 29 are younger than 24 years of age. One of the elder statesmen, I guess, is joining us right now. He was the MLS Defender of the Year for Sporting Kansas City. Ike Opara joins us now. Ike, thank you very much for taking the time out from your busy schedule.
Anytime to help out. So see what we can get into.
Well, let's first talk about, I want to talk a little bit about Sporting Kansas City before we get into the U.S. Men's National Team camp that's going on now. You know, I know you had a lot of injury problems during your career. Boy, to get the MLS Defender of the Year award this year in 2017, that had to mean something special to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think anyone that's kind of followed my career has, you know, seen some of the things that I've had to go through, the adversities that I've had to overcome. And so when it kind of, you know, when the news was, well, when I found out I was Defender of the Year, really, you know, I was obviously proud, you know, of all the hard work that it's taken to get to this point and get back to where I am. But really, I wanted to thank all the people that probably don't get credit for helping me get back, you know, and the support staff that I had, from my family, friends, to the awesome trainers, to the doctors that I had, just people who are overlooked in the whole process. For me, it felt like, it was a family effort, and from so many people that I just wanted to tell them the news before I celebrated it. So it really meant a lot to be able to share that with people that I value and hold dear to me.
Family effort withstanding. The family effort doesn't work unless the person coming back from the injury has a tremendous desire to recover from it. Obviously, you know, the mental state and your desire to come back. What kept you coming back for more? Because there's many an athlete that's, you know, waves the white flag and says, hey, I've had enough.
Yeah, absolutely. There were multiple things that I think were inspirations to why I was able to come back. I remember reading, you know, stories and articles of athletes who had come back from, you know, tough injuries and, you know, had made it back in you know, record time. You know, Terrell Suggs, who had an Achilles injury, and kind of what I had my last one with. And then Thomas Davis, the linebacker from the Panthers, and he went through, I believe it was 3 ACL tears, and he came back to have Pro Bowl seasons. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, these guys might be, you know, one in a million, but I'm going to give myself a chance to be one in a million. And if they can do it, then why can't I do it? And I think I kind of said that early on in the process, you know, wishful thinking. And then as I got into it, I really felt a desire to be a success story. And I remember speaking to, you know, those close to me, and I said, at the very least, I hope to be an inspiration to somebody out there who, you know, feels like they're down and out. Maybe they can look towards me and have inspiration that I had, you know, looking towards other athletes. So I remember just looking at it from a role model perspective at one point during the physical therapy that I had, you know, what felt like, you know, many years. I don't know. I guess my approach kind of, you know, shifted over the course of time.
Yeah, is it things like that really change your outlook, not only on your teammates and your team and your craft and your profession, but also on life?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a huge reason. I think this past, you know, actually really a year and a half, 2 years, but really came to fruition last year with my season, why I think I really excelled. You know, I think I've always had the ability, and now I needed to, you know, match that with health and consistency and rhythm. But my outlook on, you know, life and soccer is just so drastically different. The appreciation that you gain from missing time out, and I wish I didn't have to gain it via injury, you know, but it is what it is, and it happened. And I'm not sure I would change it. I wouldn't have hoped for it, you know, early on in my career, but it's made me who I am on and off the field, and I can honestly say that I'm proud of, you know, kind of what's happened.
A little bit more on Ike. Ike played at Wake Forest, obviously plays for Sporting Kansas City. All right, so a little wow factor. Last year, you're back to goal against the LA Galaxy, a ball knocked back into the penalty area. You know, you time it perfectly, you hit it clean, bicycle kick, back to goal against LA. I mean, what a significant moment for you, and what a wonderful wow factor piece that was.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned it, the wow factor, I think I've always had wow factor plays in my career, and to be able to have that as kind of, you know, it's not the backbone of what my game is now. You know, that kind of complements kind of what I do with, you know, what I'd like to believe are a well-rounded game now. And so just being able to do that, it could have gone horribly wrong first off, but like I said, I'm decently athletic, and so I remember as it was coming in, I said, I won't probably get enough power to get a header on it. And it's also crazy how many things can go through your mind, which it seems like in 3 seconds that you have 15 thoughts. And so I remember just saying, okay, I will probably won't get enough power on it. I have a feeling, you know, Diop is going to charge. I'm going to try to overrun it and try an overhead. And it just worked out. And don't know why, don't know how. Just I'm glad it came off because we needed the goal because we ended up winning 2-1. So it was big for us at that time.
Yeah. Spectacular goal and a great celebration and tremendous excitement. All right, now you mentioned horribly wrong. Every single soccer player has had something go horribly wrong. Let's lighten it up and give me one of your horribly wrong moments. I know you haven't had many of them, but give me one of them.
Oh, it depends. If we're going to exclude injuries, I guess.
Yeah, no injuries don't count. Okay. Something that's kind of funny that might have a little humor to it.
Okay. I'll stick with my it got brought up here at MLS Media Day in L.A., and they asked the question, your first professional game, how was that? And I just remember being like, oh, my gosh, I remember that versus Salt Lake when I was in San Jose. First game out of college, and Salt Lake absolutely slapped us around 3-0. Javier Morales scored two goals. One was unbelievable. Cut it from the left side, hit a half volley. Far corner, and I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, professional soccer is harder than I ever expected. And I just remember thinking, how am I supposed to defend these guys? If this is what MLS and professional soccer is all about, I might be in some trouble here. but it got better after that. It's gotten better. It's gotten easier there, Jeff.
Now, your manager, Peter Vermees, you know, obviously was a striker for a lot of his playing career, but turned into a very successful defender. How much does he work with you individually on playing the center back position?
Yeah, I mean, he's quick to remind us, you know, kind of the pointers and whatnot. He lets us, you know, he lets our own kind of flair in our games. Yeah, I think a lot of our center backs on our team are kind of drastically different from each other, and so it's all about finding with him. He tries to tinker in how we can be, you know, successful with center back partnerships. And once he figures out kind of what he's going for, it's the suggestion here, it's the suggestion there. We're watching film. We're just trying to find any way to get better. And obviously, he's a good guy to learn from. He's, you know, he in terms of soccer and his knowledge and what he's accomplished as a coach and player, it doesn't really get, you know, much better, you know, in the U.S. So he's a guy that has a lot of wisdom, and you know, he gives a lot of good pointers, and it's very helpful, I think.
U.S. national team defender, Sporting Kansas City, Ike Opara, last year the MLS Defender of the Year for Sporting Kansas City. All right, what's the theme of this camp now? Because this is a very interesting January camp. You know, obviously not qualifying for a World Cup. There is a real movement towards youth in this camp right now under Dave Sarakin. Kind of what's the mood and what's kind of the theme of this January camp?
Yeah, the mood is very uplifting and positive. You know, that's really the only way you can – no one's sulking, you know. It's you've got to move forward, and we honestly believe that the future is bright with the guys in this camp. And, you know, to try to develop, you know, who's going to be a part of the new core. And everyone just looks at, you know, as a chance for an opportunity, regardless of the state of the, you know, the U.S. program. It's an opportunity to, you know, at least, you know, maybe make a name moving forward, and more importantly, to enjoy the experience, because regardless of what's happening, these moments don't come up often. And some guys, you know, could be anyone, you know, it might be, you know, the one and only call. It could be one of many calls. So really everyone's enjoying the experience. It's been really fun to be a part of. Unfortunately, you know, it comes at our preseason time. And so we're trying to get sharp and stay at the same time, getting ready for, you know, an actual game. With all that being said, we know, you know, it's an opportunity to be competitive and to learn and grow, and hopefully moving forward, you know, provides lessons.
Speaking of that opportunity, you know, these types of camps are very interesting. You know, obviously you mentioned at various fitness levels. You got a game against Bosnia coming up here very shortly. But amongst the group of guys, since there's not that many veterans in there, do you see leaders establishing themselves within this camp in the context of just this month?
Yeah, I would say not even necessarily leaders. You can just see confidence with some guys that, you know, they deserve to be here, and that, you know, what they do on and off the field has warranted, you know, their selection. And so that feeds, you know, that allows the group to feed off energy. You know, that allows the group to really set a tone and to try to get better, you know, each practice. And so I wouldn't say there's been one guy that, you know, has stepped up and been, you know, I'm the captain, I'm the leader kind of thing. It's been more collective in the sense that, you know, all these young guys, for the most part, have been pros for a few years. So if they weren't pros, you know, in the mentality, they wouldn't be here. And so it's not I would say, as necessary the leadership in this camp at the very moment that we're lacking or anything like that. Now, as we have the scrimmages and come the game, I think that's when you really show or see who is going to step up during moments when necessary.
Ike Opara joining us here, ahead of the United States taking on Bosnia-Herzegovina. This is the traditional January camp. It is a camp that is including a lot of younger players. Having called the under 20 men's national team and under 17 men's national team in their age appropriate World Cups, I absolutely believe there's tremendous talent coming through these other age levels, and we've heard other people say that as well. And I think it's a little out of sight and out of mind because everybody's focused on the senior national team. But I Right. assume everybody in this camp is aware of those players.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, so many guys in this camp have been to youth national team or youth World Cups, and so they've progressed, you know, vertically and nicely through, you know, the system. And sure, yes, you miss some guys. I mean, this country is not very small, so it's very easy to miss some guys. And yes, they need to get better in some certain aspects. But as a whole, there are plenty of talented players, you know, that are coming up to the system, and it's only getting better. And hopefully, it continues to get better because for us to progress, you know, as a nation, it has to be that way. How exactly? You know, that's above my pay grade, not for me to handle and worry about. But I genuinely believe that. You know, we can learn from what has happened, and we should learn from what's happened. And with the guys that are coming up and the guys that are, you know, kind of already in the system, it should really be positive moving forward.
You know, you have a genuine effervescence, a genuine engagement in your voice. I mean, I can tell that you are so excited about where you are in your playing career, both with club and country. Do you realize, Ike, now that you're in your latter 20s, not that you're an old guy at all, but that you're in your latter 20s and you've had a couple of years as a pro, do you realize now that, you know, kind of you're in some of the best times of your life?
Yeah, and specifically on the field, you know, kind of when you are, you know, in the prime, I guess, is what people like to say. I mean, you can say prime. I think people peak at different times. But you just know whenever it is, age-wise, when you're able to process a million things, I mean, the game's happening a million miles an hour, and you're able to process them within seconds, and you're able to make the right decision, and you're able to just do so many things under pressure, you know, with moving pieces, and that's in the game feels, you know, slows down for you. That's when you truly know that you're in a good place. And I think that for me was, you know, one of those moments like, okay, every game is kind of like this. It's pretty consistent, and I'm feeling good about it. Obviously, you know, for me personally, I don't let soccer dictate my whole life. Now it's a part of my life, but you know, I just have that mindset of, you know, trying to be balanced on and off the field.
Ike, listen, thank you very much for coming on. Best of luck against Bosnia-Herzegovina, and. We look forward to watching you in another great MLS season coming up. And thanks for spending some time with us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
All right. That's Ike Opara with the U.S. men's national team ahead of Bosnia-Herzegovina, also of Sporting Kansas City, the MLS Defender of the Year. We'll take a quick break here. Reminder here as we go to break, flathouston.com. The Flat is in the Montrose area, home of the best local, national, and international DJs. Wonderful vibe over there. Combine that with the best frozen mojito in Houston, and you've got the perfect setup. Check out the Flat, flathouston.com, and my good friend, DJ Sun. We'll take a break. More to come.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Tonight we ended in big style here. Quick word, though, for Kings Court. Kings Court is down in Edo. It's right by BBVA Compass Stadium. It is the real soccer pub in this part of town. 13 TVs, giant big screen. It's the home of the Manchester United supporters group. It's also a place where you can catch the Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, and the Dynamo. Get over to Kings Court, say hello to Jay, check out the rooftop deck and the butter chicken. Jay, KingsCourtTX.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Outside of the box is how we finish it up here tonight with Patty Smith. 20 years, Fox Sports Southwest. You know her as a sideline reporter for the Astros and Rockets. She used to do a Texans magazine show as well. And you also know her from the Houston Rodeo. Patty joins us now. Patty, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
All right. 20 years at Fox Sports Southwest. You were basically an institution here. why the switch?
Oh, my gosh. You hit that question right out of the gate. It was, honestly, timing. It was, I've been working on this event here at the Sports Authority called the Houston Sports Awards with the Sports Authority back when I was at Fox. And just with the culmination of things, it was just kind of time to take it to the next level. And in order to do that, I really had to kind of come on here full time. So I still do a few things for Fox occasionally. I still, one of the hosts of the rodeo, which airs on Fox. But for the most part, I am full time at the Sports Authority and working on the Houston Sports Awards, which is coming up on February 8th.
And we're going to talk about that before we're done with this interview. I read an article. It was a really cool article. I learned a lot about you that I didn't know. I also did not know that at 11 years of age, you knew you wanted to be in television.
Wow. I'm not even sure what article you read. You're just throwing me for a loop here, my friend. I did. I remember the day it happened. I don't know. I was a big sports fan when I was a kid. I had brothers. I was a tomboy. I was an athlete. And I just always wanted to be around it. And back in those days, you know, Phyllis George was probably kind of the one woman sportscaster that I kind of looked up to. I was a huge Howard Cosell fan, and I remember thinking as a kid, you know, that guy's getting old. He's going to probably have to be replaced by the time I hit about 20. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to do Monday Night Football, and that was the day I decided I was going to be a sportscaster.
Yeah, I mean, groundbreaking time with Phyllis George, but did your brothers have a lot of influence on that because of all the sports that was around? And what sports did you play as a young woman?
My brothers were hockey players. My dad used to, my dad and my brothers used to literally take me outside and line me up on the hockey, along the boards and just fire pucks at me just to, you know, see if I could avoid them. But I was actually a softball player. And, I would say my dad probably was the biggest influence. Every night after dinner, we were out in the backyard throwing the ball, and he just, you know, he would just fire it at me as hard as he could, and I was just never allowed to move. I had to keep it in front of my face. If the ball came out the back of the glove and hit me in the mouth, it hit me in the mouth, but I wasn't allowed to move.
Patty Smith joining us, Public Relations Director, Harris County Houston Sports Authority, working on what is a huge event, Houston Sports Awards Show. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but this is going to be a massive event on February 8th at the Hilton Americas. Are you surprised at where women's sports has come now? Because, you know, I mean, we look here in Texas, softball's huge, Texas volleyball, women's soccer. I mean, just the growth of it since you got into the business of television.
Well, you know, it's funny, Glenn, that you asked me that, because I always seem to get asked, and I guess because I am a woman, but I always get asked about either women's sports or women in the media. And, you know, or change your question in a different direction, but I never look at it that way. I mean, I don't feel like I ever look at a sport as a women's sport. I don't feel like I look at myself as a women's sportscaster. I mean, we're all in sports. We all do it. I go out and, you know, there's, whether you're a woman or a man going in the locker room, we're all doing the same job. They're all my counterparts. I don't think one has an advantage. I don't think one has a disadvantage. I never looked at it that way 20 years ago. I still don't look at it that way. And I kind of look at men and women's sports the same way. I mean, an athlete is an athlete. You know, they're you compete in a different league at different, you know, not together, but you still have that level of athleticism. And I just don't really kind of define it one way or another by being male or female, to be honest with you.
What's your favorite sport to be involved with?
Like to cover from a...
Yeah, to cover as, you know, maybe the fan side of you comes out a little bit.
You know, growing up as a baseball was probably my favorite to cover the Astros for all those years because you know, you've got so much time out there. You're out there at the ballpark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You really get to know the athletes and in order to tell a story, I think, and be a part of the media, you have to have relationships and you're able to develop those relationships. So from that standpoint, I did. From the excitement of the game and the travel schedule and the weekly schedule, I like covering Texans. It's very routine. It's I just like it. And then from an E standpoint, I mean, going in and covering a Rockets game was just in, out. It was fun. It was high-paced. So each one of them kind of has their own sort of thing. But deep down, I'm probably a baseball girl.
Patty Smith joining us here is with the Harris County Houston Sports Authority. She's a public relations director. And by the way, with all your relationships and media contacts, and boy, Harris County's Houston Sports Authority made a great coup here in getting you on board.
Well, I think that was kind of the whole marriage made in heaven here. You know, they've got the resources and everything to put this event on, but in order to do something of this magnitude, you have to be connected with the teams, with the athletes, with the community. And I just, you know, happen to be doing what I've been doing long enough that I have those relationships. And it's really kind of all sort of coming to fruition. And that's, I think, what's going to make it successful is really just a great combination of how we've kind of paired up to do this.
So your husband's a football coach. Do you guys talk a lot of sports when you're at home at dinner?
I am not home at dinner. I have not been home for dinner in months. So I, you know, no, literally, I don't, this event is so consuming right now. I don't walk in the house before midnight. So we are not talking at dinner at all. But yeah, we're a sports family. I mean, he's a football coach and that, you know, he just kind of does his thing and understands my world. And as a coach's wife, I have to understand that, you know, his schedule is very much the same and we've managed to make it work for a long time.
Does David's mood change with results, winning and losing as a football coach? As a husband when he comes home?
No, he's always crabby. He's a coach.
I hope he doesn't hear this interview.
No, he's actually very consistent. He doesn't ever get too high, and he doesn't get too low. He's got the perfect demeanor.
Favorite person you've ever interviewed, Patty? Who would it be?
Oh, my gosh. Favorite person I've ever interviewed? Wow. There's so many great ones that I can't hone in on one. I will tell you, my very first interview ever was Paul Newman. Which
wow.
was a huge, yeah, it was huge because he doesn't do interviews ever. And I kind of like happenstanced upon it. So that one always sticks with me as kind of a great one.
Wait, hold on. Don't go for it. You got to tell us that story now.
Well, I started my career in Atlanta and he was there. Of course, he was a race car driver. He was at the Atlanta Motor Speedway and we had a media event and I was like a kid. I'd never done anything. And we're at this media event at one of these, Malibu racetracks and I'm in the batting cages just taking swings, you know, hitting some balls, and literally Paul Newman walks up and he goes, "Hey, how do you work this batting cage?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, well, you just, you know, you put a token in and this is how you do it." And he goes, "Okay, thank you very much." And I was like, "Well, by the way, my name is Patty Smith and can I interview you tomorrow after your race?" He had no PR people with him, nothing, and he just looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, sure, call my so-and-so." He gave me the girl's name and I called her and she about went ballistic, but because he said he would do it, he did it. I got the interview that nobody else could get, a total scoop on my very first interview ever.
Unbelievable. Boy, you set the bar high with that one.
I set the bar high there, but I'm standing here in my office talking to you, Glenn, and I'm looking at a big giant picture of Jeff Bagwell on my wall, who, you know, has to rank right up there as well as one of my favorite people in Houston sports as well.
Well, I remember you in the stands at Astros games as well, interviewing presidents.
Yeah, I've got a few great President Bush stories, and he's definitely one of my favorite people. I stood there holding hands with him one time during God Bless America, and that will definitely be one that I will tell the grandkids about.
Pretty unbelievable. All right, let's go now to February 8th, Hilton Americas. It's a huge award show. You've been working on this thing 24/7. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, like I said, it's kind of like an ESPYs for Houston. We're celebrating all of Houston athletes. We've got 10 categories: athlete of the year, college athlete of the year, lifetime achievement, sportsmanship, moments, coach, all of those things. And what's really cool, Glenn, is aside from just, you know, having your nominees in the category and announcing the winners, we are also doing something really big for this inaugural one, and that is we are celebrating and honoring Houston's legendary number 34s, Hakeem Olajuwon, Earl Campbell, and Nolan Ryan. We've invited them all back. They've all accepted. They are all coming, and they're going to be honored throughout the course of the night with a lot of the old teammates from the Phi Flamma Jamma days, the Rocket days, the old Love You Blue days. Dan Pastorini will be there. I mean, we're really going to spend a lot of time on that as well. It's a big red, I call it a red carpet event, but it's actually a blue carpet event because Powerade is our sponsor out there on the blue carpet. We've turned it blue. There'll be hundreds of Houston athletes and celebs walking the blue carpet going into the event for the night. It'll be televised on AT&T Sports. And it's just, it's going to be just a phenomenal event to kick off with something that I think is going to just really make an impact on Houston for years to come.
Wow. I've got chills down my spine with the players that you've been mentioning there and all these past greats, Olajuwon, Campbell, Ryan, all these guys that are going to be there. So this is going to be a remarkable night. We'll get you back on the show to talk about it more as we get closer to the date here in the next couple of weeks. But, Patty, first of all, congratulations on all the hard work you're putting into that event. But also, I want to remind you, you're a Houston institution, and we're going to make sure you know that. This interview really was about you, and I want to thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you so much, but let's not make it about me. As much about HoustonSportsAwards.com. I had to get in my plug. Thanks, Glenn.
HoustonSportsAwards.com. You heard it, Patty Smith. Patty, thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll talk to you very soon.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. We wrap it up with that out-of-the-box segment with Patty Smith. What a great way to wrap it up tonight. And I want to remind you again, our presenting sponsor is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com. You call 713-322-HURT, bilingual. Look, nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, 18-wheeler, you got to have somebody to take care of your case. The Daspit Law Firm will treat it as if it's their own. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, and you just call 713-322-HURT. Go to the website for advice, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. For Jose Partida, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Wednesday, remember, Soccer Matters.